Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. Snow is falling even now. I can't imagine it. Snow falling across the lake, which has just started to freeze here just a few days ago. A little bluish white extending out over the water. Nothing that you'd want to test yourself personally, but maybe we'll get some skating there by New Year's Eve. Snow coming into Minnesota, maybe quite a bit of it. And I suppose that those city mice who are going to come up and visit the country mice in a couple of days might be wondering if maybe this might enable them to cancel out on this trip. Those city mice always include one person who's not related to those country mice, and she's probably thinking she'd a lot rather go to the Nutcracker down in the cities and go out to dinner at a nice restaurant maybe on Christmas Eve and then go to the cathedral for the candlelight service with the choristers there with their ruffled collars and always singing this beautiful cantata and incense, clouds of it, filling this great Gothic cathedral and the rector, who sounds so much like Gregory Peck. And everything just wonderful compared to going up to Lake Wobegon and being amongst all those crabby Lutherans and singing those old Norwegian songs that they sing every year and those wailing sopranos and that wheezy organ and that sermon that just always makes you feel worse. Not the friendliest people in the world, and then afterward they come up and say hello to you and they give you this look. I mean, it's not what you'd call friendly. They're looking at you as if they think they saw you on a poster at the post office and they're wondering if it was homicide or larceny. They're not sure. No. Then up in Lake Wobegon, the country mice, the grandma and the grandma mouse are thinking about the kids who are going to come up from the city for Christmas. And thinking back to the time when kids used to be seen and not heard, you know, when you didn't have to sit and listen to an 11-year-old give you his take on the world. Back when kids used to be able to sit still, and now they're just always jumping around. They seem to need videos or something to keep them busy. They're incapable of just sitting, incapable of just going outside and just messing around. But they'll get together for Christmas, and something will happen. And in the meantime, this is one of the best parts of Christmas, is the part just before it starts, when there are these whole big patches of serenity that open up. And you feel this peace of Christmas when the rush has sort of quieted down a little bit and there's not that much that remains to be done, or it's too late to do what needs to be done. And you sit and enjoy this quiet and you walk outside on Christmas Eve after you've done with the supper and you're going to go off to church and you look up at this great vast starry sky and black branches poking up into it and you just stand there and you breathe it all in. That's Christmas. That part right there, that's the peace of Christmas. Or on Christmas Day when the company has not come yet and everything's done, the cookies are all baked and you've done your turn around the living room with the vacuum and the table is all set. And you have this little 20 minutes, this little half hour, and you just drink it all in. It's such a lovely, lovely time where you can just sit and think back on all the Christmases that you remember. I've had about 4 exciting Christmases, and that's enough, I think, for a lifetime. All the rest just kind of blend into one Christmas. I never can remember what year they were. Just a lot of uncles sitting slumped on the couch and dozing and the smell of turkey and dressing in little gingerbread houses and a choir singing off in the kitchen somewhere. The serenity of Christmas is something that you're likely to get if you lack social skills, as I do. If you're shy, you should learn to appreciate serenity because you're going to get a lot of it in your life. I think back to the Christmas when my dad fell off the barn and fractured his skull, and he took a long time recuperating in the hospital, and Mother told us a couple of weeks before that there wouldn't be as much money for Christmas this time, so we shouldn't expect something that we weren't going to get. This was back in the Dark Ages, children. This was back before credit cards. This was back when you ordered what you wanted out of the Montgomery Ward catalog and you paid for it with a check and you sent it off in the U.S. mail. There was no fax machine. There was no 800 numbers. There was no internet. It was back before recorded history, almost. So you looked at the Montgomery Ward catalog and you realized you shouldn't think about all of those things there. And a couple of weeks before Christmas, I went to church and I saw on the table in the cloakroom a white box with our family's name on it and a slot in the top. And I realized that people were putting money into that box for our family. They were bestowing charity on us. I was so ashamed. I just wanted to pick up that box and throw it away with whatever amount of money was inside it. It was the week after that that I went to the cities and I stole two things from Dayton's department store to give as Christmas presents. A very nice crystal dish and a dictionary, an unabridged dictionary. It was big. It was the size of a briefcase. Big department store, and it was jammed with people. And I took the dictionary off the table, and I sort of crouched on the floor as if I were examining it for flaws in the binding. And I looked around, and nobody was looking at me, and I slipped it under my parka, and I headed down the escalators for the door. And I'll never forget that feeling of terror. I was 14 years old, and I thought, I'll probably go to prison for about 2 or 3 years. When they catch me, they'll put me in prison. I'll get out after 3 years. I'll walk down the street. People look at me. They'll say, there's that boy. Took that unabridged dictionary. Doesn't have the brains that God gave geese. Look at him. I thought to myself as I headed towards the door, I thought, I will remember this for the rest of my life. And I do. I remember that feeling of terror waiting for the hand to come down on my shoulder. I went out the door and I got on a bus and I rode home. But I keep thinking, reliving that Christmas every year. And now as I get older, I relive it from the point of view of a store detective who is following that boy down the escalator. And some years when I recollect this, I almost put my hand on his shoulder, but most years I don't. It's only about 10 or 15 minutes until the store closes, and I just don't want to fool with it. And Silent Night is playing. And how can you arrest somebody when Silent Night is playing? I gave the unabridged dictionary, and I gave the crystal dish for presents. And about 20 years ago, I sent Dayton's department store a check covering the amount of my theft. And I've never have forgotten it the rest of my born days. I remember Christmas back in 1986. I remember it because it was the year that I decided I would experiment with candles, actual candles on the tree. I'd seen pictures of this in a magazine, and they just looked so nice. And I also thought I would cook a goose for the first time in my life. I just thought the goose went with the candles. I had just earned a whole big bundle of money, and I had my whole family come over for Christmas, and I was showing off for them, I suppose, though I was kind of a novice at cooking a goose. I didn't realize until late in the afternoon on Christmas Eve day that you really should thaw that thing out, really. You really should. I put it in the oven in a baking dish, and I turned it up high, and then I went and I put the candles on the tree, on these little candle holders. And I had about 150 of them. This tree was just studded with candles. And then I went down to the hospital to visit a friend of mine who was in the hospital, an old woman named Helen Gunsel, who was in for dialysis and who was very important to me when I was a boy. She was a person I could go and talk to about anything, and she would listen to me and not disagree with me. And everybody needs one of those in your life. I went down to the hospital, and the nurse at the station said, "Well, I guess you didn't hear then." "No," I said, "I didn't hear what?" She said, "Helen died this afternoon." I said, "Oh, dear." She said, "She's right in there in that room if you want to go in and see." I walked into the room, and here was my old friend lying there wrapped in white. She looked peaceful. I looked at her long and hard, and I thanked her for all she'd meant to me, wishing that I had said this years and years before. And I came home, and the goose had turned a little black on top. I got it out of the oven, and I spilled goose grease onto my hand, even under the oven mitts, and I dropped the dish, which was a glass baking dish, and it broke, and I held onto the goose for just a moment. And then I dropped it, and it fell, and it skidded across the floor. And it picked up all these glass fragments. I was picking glass out of it, and then I noticed that down about an inch, it was still frozen. And it was all black on one side. So I went down to the store, and I got about 20 chicken breasts and brought them home and thawed them out in the microwave, and my family came, and I lit the candles on the tree, and then I threw open the doors so they could see this wonderful sight, and my mother just turned white. Her nightmare, all of her life, there before her eyes, a Christmas tree on fire. Our lives threatened. We never recovered from it. The rest of the Christmas, it just was one of the most dreadful Christmases I can ever remember, and one that was dreadful at great expense. Of course, I remember the Christmas 4 years ago when my daughter was born. My wife and I sat in our apartment and waited for this child to come. Didn't really feel we needed presents or a tree or a big dinner. That was just enough for us. We just sat, quietly waited, and a few days after Christmas, went to the hospital, and after a few hours of struggle, the doctor handed her to me, this little naked daughter. She was about the size of my shoe, and I looked into those dark eyes that were searching me. That was the third Christmas I remember. And then there was the Christmas when the flu struck, and the dark angel of projectile vomiting came to our home. I was little, and my little brothers and sister got the flu. They were upstairs whimpering on Christmas Eve. I took some toast and tea up to them at my mother's instructions, and they were lying in bed weeping. They said, "Is Santa still gonna come?" I said, "I doubt it, frankly." I doubt that very much. Why would Santa come and pick up all your germs and carry them around to every other boy and girl in the entire world? Why would Santa do that? Think. I came downstairs and had supper and went to bed and woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning with this wonderful feeling. I went downstairs. The lights were off in the living room, but that great tree stood glistening in the corner, and the room just smelled of Christmas. There was a whole mountain range of gifts under it, and our stockings leaned on the couch. They're full of things, bulging. I lifted an orange out of the top of mine, and I took a deep whiff of orange, and I shook my gifts to see which ones were shirts and which were games and which were airplane models and which were books. But they always fit into one category or the other. Here it was in one room, the beauty of Christmas, the love of our parents, here in this room, everything laid out for us in silence, beautiful tree and these gifts and the stockings. Our parents, who were not big huggers, who were critics, who were strict people with high standards and expected us to live up to them. But here on this one day, their love was so generously bestowed. And then I had another strange feeling that I really should get to the toilet as soon as possible. And I was right. I went and I made it just in time. I don't want to go into great detail here, but I just exploded at both ends, people. I never experienced such weight loss all at one time. It just happened all in one big burst. I felt dizzy and nauseous, and then I felt sort of euphoric. And I do every time I recollect that Christmas. Every time I get a little anxious around Christmas, I think back to that year. And I think it is Christmas, and I am not vomiting. This is not a bad deal. Merry Christmas to all of you, and if you go to Lake Wobegon, say hello from me. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.